Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and I have a very special guest with me today, Juliet Underhill. She is an instructor from Merritt Island, Florida. How are you, Juliet?
I'm doing well.
Tell us where Merritt Island is.
It's in East Central Florida. I'm by the Space Center and directly east of Orlando.
And is it an actual island or?
Yeah, I live in an island that's in the middle of the intercoastal waterway. And it's a very thin little island. So I have the intercoastal on the front and the back of my property.
That's amazing.
It's really lovely.
That's amazing. I bet when hurricanes come your way, you guys get out of there.
Oh, yes, we do. Yep.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. You've been teaching for how long?
Six years.
And where did we meet?
We met at WSSC.
At WSSC, okay.
Yeah.
And then I know it kind of developed on the various forums on the internet. Weren't you, and you were a member of my previous site, and now you're an ICA member, and we talk on Facebook occasionally. And
right. I've been following your blogs, and I think you were one of the very first classes I took at my first WSSC, and it was a real revelation for me, the science behind the exercise. And I really, right from then, kind of glommed on.
Well, I have noticed in your comments on the forums and on Facebook and in the spinning groups, an evolution in your education and your ability. You give such great advice to these instructors who ask questions. And if people don't know it, I pay attention to this kind of thing. I keep my fingers. I try to look out and, you know, see who's up and coming. And I tell you what, you have just, the cream rises to the top. I think what you're doing is amazing. And when you, so why am I having you here? You talked about a profile that you created called Guru in the Mountains, and you posted it on one of the forums, and it just bowled me over. I mean, I you're like a diamond in the rough.
Ooh, I like diamonds.
And we can help make this profile will make you shine. I mean, this is,
oh wow, thank you.
This truly is. I want people to realize that there's opportunities out there to just take what you're learning from, whether it's ICA or other. There's some incredible master instructors who are posting on the Facebook groups. You can look up spinning groups and indoor cycling groups and just learn from these people. And this profile is amazing. So it's called Guru in the Mountains. And what I'd like you to do is first kind of give me a little history of why did you create this?
Well, my goal for myself as an instructor was to give one of those master instructor type rides that you have at WSSC or these national conferences or the master classes, like you go and present. And, you know, anyone can follow a profile, turn it up, turn it down, sit up, stand up. But it's the coaching and the cueing and the motivation that differentiate a ride from an event.
Yep.
And so learning to connect the rider to their own mental power with the coaching, cueing, and visualization was the kind of task I've been working toward over the years, to have one of those rides.
And before we jump into the profile, there's something really, really important that you and I were discussing prior to the recording of this, and it reminded me of my early days as a master instructor and my struggles on this journey. And that is that as instructors, every one of us are afraid. There's this fear, we're intimidated by some of our students, that they're not going to buy it, that they're not going to like it, that they're going to think we're weird, that they're going to think we're... I remember I used to get comments like, oh, you drank the Kool-Aid. And, so, you know, that was certainly part of your hesitation, wasn't it?
It really was. I've been trying to find the cues that feel normal to me, that feel good to me, that don't feel too out there, or I don't feel too cheesy saying it. And everyone will have to find that balance of what they feel they can speak with authenticity. It doesn't have to be my words, but they need to find what feels right for them.
Yeah, that's exactly, if I can tell my story, early on, so this is in 1997, 98, 99, 2000 was the first time that I actually presented at a conference at WSSE. But at 99, you know, I was there and watching Johnny G, and I loved what he was saying, but I certainly couldn't be him. But I would take some of what I was learning and go back to my club and try out some of his words and his cues, and sometimes they didn't fit in my mouth. and sometimes I certainly walked out of class going, oh my God, that was a disaster, or boy, that was really cheesy. But over time, like you said, you've got to find out what works for you. And I started adding my own personality to it. My first couple years of presenting, I knew I wanted to, just like you wanted to create this epic journey ride. I wanted to do that too. I was, as you mentioned at the beginning, I was really into the science, and I started off early on in my presenting. I had a ride called The Anatomy of the Pedal Stroke, you know, and brought in biomechanics and then a lot of physiology. But I really, really wanted to be one of those master instructors that wooed people or wowed people. And sometimes I was successful and sometimes I was not. In fact, sometimes I was paralyzed by the comments I got, you know, because everyone fills a evaluation afterwards. And had I listened to that fear in my heart when I read those comments, because, you know, your stomach drops, then I would not be where I am today.
Exactly.
I want people to realize that, you know, you don't get to this place easily. You have to accept defeat. You have to be willing to try things that are outside of your comfort zone, whether it's a physical accomplishment like we do in our classes, or try to get people outdoors and try to ride a little longer, or this, what you're talking about in extending yourself and putting yourself out there as a guru on the mountain, is an emotional and a mental accomplishment. It is stretching yourself in ways that you might, that's almost even more scary than the physical kind of challenges. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, it's absolutely a workout for the instructor as well as the student. The workout for the instructor is mental, and being able to stay focused and keep weaving the threads of this story. And it does take a lot of preparation in advance to be ready in case you do have a rider that doesn't want to go along and not let it rattle you. So it's a challenge for everybody.
Yeah, I recently someone commented on one of my posts. It was a one of the more introspective rides. I can't remember which ride it was. And he taught this class and he prepared so hard for it. And he did have a lot of really wonderful comments, but he did have someone say that, oh, if I wanted a therapist, I would have paid for a therapist. And it just, my heart broke reading that. I just hope he doesn't listen to that one person, that he listens to everyone else who really loved it. I posted on my Facebook page the other day. I saw it and just shared it. It was actually, it's really apropos here. It was a quote by, I don't know, some movie star or something, who said, even if you find the most juicy, tasty, wonderful peach you've ever had, there's going to be someone who doesn't like peaches. So,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, we cannot please everyone. So all that, let's set that aside. We know that the challenge, the mental, the emotional challenge of stretching yourself to try to inspire people on a more intimate level is going to be there. Let's get into your ride. This is okay. a beautiful journey ride. It's not just a physical challenge. This is a mind-body journey. And so tell us about your warm-up and what you tell your students. Well, first of all, can you give like an overall?
Well, the overall description of the ride, the profile is pretty straightforward. It's going, starting flat, adding resistance, going up, crossing a ridge, high flat plateau, more climbing, and a steep summit. So that's pretty standard. It's really not anything overly fancy. The hard part is gaining the trust of your riders and having them accept and go along with the ride, with the story of the ride, to be able to take that journey in their mind.
And of course, the music is a big part of a ride like this, isn't it?
Exactly. I've tried to keep most of my music instrumental, or it's not typical Western music. There are a few Western music songs that are more lyrical, that have lyrics, and I use those as little inspirational parts of the ride. But the rest is instrumental and sets the mood of the location that I'm trying to get them to visualize. And there's a couple of songs that I feel are like the critical parts that will really help people to kind of, you'll grab them and draw them in immediately.
It kind of, it goes to the point of, you know, you want your music to match your message, and you have a very important message here. And when we get to those two songs, you mentioned them to me earlier, we'll highlight those because they're going to be important kind of posts, stakes along the way. So we've got your profile. Let's go into the warm-up. How do you, you know, you tell your students what they're about to face?
Well, after you do your safety talk and everything, I have them warm up on flat road, adding a little bit of resistance every few minutes. And I tell them right from the beginning, today's ride is a journey ride. And I'm not going to be explaining exercise physiology, strength techniques, anything of that sort. Today, I want to take you somewhere in your head. So I need you to agree to be open to joining this journey. And I give them a little bit of a synopsis of the ride. Our ride today starts on a flat road, quickly gets steeper. We have to get over a high ridge of mountains. Next, we cross a high flat plateau. And finally, we climb high up into the mists to reach the guru in the mountains and then up to the summit. And then I invite them to start kind of formulating a question in their mind that they would like to ask the guru in the mountains, and something that they might want to receive some enlightenment at the end of the ride.
Do you give them some suggestions, or you let that totally come from themselves?
No, I actually I don't want to start in injecting my own possibilities. I want it to be theirs and to keep it privately just for themselves. And then, you know, my warm-up is actually two songs. One is a bit shorter. And so my warm-up continues focusing on the preparation of the ride. And now I kind of want them to get into the mindset of preparing for a journey, as if you were packing and tying up the loose ends before you have to go on a trip. The song is a traditional Nepali trekking song, so it's already starting to give them a little bit of a hint about the place, the terrain that we're heading for. So I invite them to close their eyes and let the jitters of preparation kind of work their way out, work their way through your body. There's a mix of excitement whenever you're preparing, some anxiety, and a whole lot of eagerness. But it's okay to let go. I want them to buy into this ride. Let go. Roll your neck, relax your shoulders and find your legs. And if you watch, you'll see them kind of moving around and settling down and getting prepared. And then I tell them, we're going to an exotic location and we're going on an epic quest. Calm your breath and go and let go of all anxiety and keep yourself open to this journey.
And then you move into that song that you say is one of the pivotal songs.
Right. This is where I feel like I can immediately, I try to get them to immediately buy in. This song, the road is still relatively flat. We've just come out of our warm-up, so we're just starting to get into working mode. So we're just moving from seated flat to standing flat. Every 30 seconds, we're just alternating and turning up the resistance, little bumps to the right. And so because this ride, this song has the sounds of a train coming, we've gone from that kind of packing and preparing for our journey to let's go. We're getting on board and we start, I say, stand up, get it. We're on the platform of the train. And this is the song again, because you are moving from seated to standing, and the visualization that comes along, they're participating and it moves along quickly. 4 minutes, 30 seconds, seated, standing, alternating, that they are participating with you. It's just that this song with the sounds of the train, it becomes like a feast for visualization opportunities.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I see you mentioned that this is a third world train. You're getting banged around, you know.
Right. So I say we're starting on our first leg of the journey. It starts on a train, and this is a third world train. So there's your first visualization. It's not the Eurostar. It's not the Orient Express. So they start having to make those pictures appear in their mind. So I tell them to stand up, let's board the train, and you start working your way back through the cars to find a seat. So by that time, 30 seconds have passed, let's have a seat. As we're going, we notice there's a tiny elderly lady coming down the aisle with a huge pack on her hunched back. So let's do the right thing. Let's give her our seat. So it's time to come up into standing again. And we'll find another seat as we move farther back onto the train. You know, I give some visualization. Anyone could add some more. It's the perfect opportunity to bring in more senses. You'll talk about the colorful characters on the train, people chattering in foreign languages, maybe some chickens, and then we have them find a seat again. So 30 seconds have passed, and I'm just inviting them to ride, keep the pedal strokes nice and smooth, and ride in time with the sound of the train. And you're letting that energy of the train and the warmth of the passengers encourage you to become a temporary local during this journey. Remember to be open to every experience on your quest.
I think it's obvious, Juliet, that you've done a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
And because that's what I like to do when I travel, is to become a temporary local. But right. I just want to interject here. People, you know, you could have just seen pictures in a magazine. And,
exactly.
And
be, or watched,
you know, you don't have to have gone to Nepal or India to understand, or another third world country. This actually kind of reminds me of when I went to Guatemala, crowded buses and colorful people and babies crying and just cool.
Right. So remember, if you've had those experiences, remember some of the smells and some of the sensations and some of the maybe characters, and try to explain them, and people have the opportunity to recall from their own past, and then you know they've bought in, they're in it now, they're participating in the story with you.
So this is a pivotal song, and not just because of the music, but because of the what you're laying down as kind of the platform,
right,
of we're now moving forward. People have bought into this. They're like, oh, this is kind of cool. I can think of other things. And so now we move on.
So we move on, and I ask them, we move on. We're in a seated climb by this time. And the next song is just over 4 minutes long. So at about 2 minutes, you're going to turn it up. And so I ask them to think about, we're moving up in elevation because our resistance is getting heavier through mountain passes and chilly mists. And we finally have found a seat to ourselves and we have a little time to reflect. The song has a little bit more of a quiet, reflective quality to it. So I asked them to find some quiet in their own head and just to look out the window and take in the views. And you can describe a little bit, but also allow them to use their imagination to fill in the scenery. I live in Florida. It's super flat. It's semi-tropical. So those kind of maybe alpine or mountain and images of rocks and peaks and snow is very inviting and exotic for us. But I try to bring them back and say, you know, you have some time, some quiet now. What question are you going to ask of the guru in the mountain? And the songs of the lyric are supporting this type of imagery that you're going for. And I ask them to think about the truth behind their quest. What is the good life? Because the song keeps talking about having a good life. And what does it mean in their own life? And what are the hopes for good or enlightenment that would come from this quest? And then as the music goes along, I ask them to just kind of ponder these questions, but keep a steady climbing pace and just take in the world outside of the windows and that it's peaceful, it's sparkling, and to let the amazing landscape just imprint itself in your memory. It's the perfect day to make this pilgrimage. And this also kind of lets them know at the very end, it's the perfect day to make this pilgrimage that, yes, you're doing this. So then next we start moving in. The next song is just alternating between seated and standing, climbing, seated, standing, seated. It's about a 3.5 minute song, so increasing the resistance every minute and just moving from the saddle into standing and back to the saddle. And I tell them as I'm weaving the story that it's now time to disembark from the train and we're starting on the steeper sections of our journey to seek the guru in the mountain. Now we're not riding anymore. Now we're having to climb. So this journey requires effort, struggle, and intense concentration. So I ask them to be honest with the resistance and the intensity that I'm asking for. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. And remember, you are on a quest. You have an agenda today. And if I notice that people are still a little uneasy, I might interject a joke. And I've said to, usually it's a man sitting next to a woman, I'll say, hey, John, you're sitting next to Mary here. Have you ever known a woman with an agenda? And then you'll get a couple of giggles. That's a dangerous thing. That's a powerful thing. A woman with an agenda. And so then it just kind of, you know, if there is any tension or people aren't feel, it just kind of makes people feel comfortable again to have a little bit of a giggle.
Yep.
So then I remind them to ride with power and grace. Use that power. And then we move on to the next song is becoming very, very steep now. And I ask them to increase the resistance, come up out of the saddle. This is 2 minutes. We're crossing this high ridge and we are in standing in a nice, steep standing climb. So I tell my riders, we have to clear the top of this ridge. Now we are going to do this as a team. We're going to be clipped together on the same safety line, and I ask them to visualize clipping together so that no one gets left behind. We must function as a unit. Then I have a little quote from the Buddha. I ask them, where are your thoughts? The Buddha says, the mind is everything. What you think, you become.
That should be like up on your wall.
And then for some visualization, I say the ledges up here are little more than goat paths. We don't want to look down because that steep drop is going to give you a sense of vertigo. Stay focused and push to the top. This is daunting. So then we move along after we've kind of cleared that ridge. We start to descend in the next song, and I start to invite them to take a little turn to the left, decrease that resistance, and come back to the saddle. And we're starting our descent here, but that does not mean we allow our intensity to go careening down ahead of us. It is a working descent. We are working down the other side of this crest. But every step, every pedal stroke has to be strategic because we have to cope with these scree fields. And again, I'm from Florida, so we don't experience scree around here. So I explained that scree is that flat, pebbly flakes of rock that can slide from under your boots and sweep you down the mountainside. It's a working descent. So we have to keep that intensity up by keeping a nice, quick pace. And I just remind them that descents are harder, more technical than climbs.
Now, I just want to interject here because I'm sure someone's thinking this as they're listening. This is a journey, so we're not really dictating cadence or anything.
No.
If they want to follow the beat, it's their choice. But downhill, a lot of people think, I'll just let my legs go. Being a working descent, you're still having them, it's not too fast of a cadence.
Right. I don't want them to just come back to the saddle, take their resistance down, and just coast along. I want them to work down. We're just decreasing the resistance, but they're actually still in a climb. They're having to, you know, you've decreased the level of resistance, but there really is no such thing as a downhill.
Yeah.
There's no gravity assist.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're moving on now. Now we've taken the resistance down. We're in a working flat at this point, working being the objective word here. And right here, I invite them to stand up as they need to stretch their legs or rev up for little bursts of intensity. So for the visualization, I tell them we have a rest stop coming ahead, but the Sherpas and the Yaks are up there ahead of us. They're used to this altitude and mountain terrain. The wind is blowing in your face, and so you have a headwind, so you have to push through it, even though the plateau is relatively flat. So you still are going to be rolling through your thoughts in your mind about what you want to ask the guru, but don't get lost in your head. You're going to have to come up for these short bursts of speed to catch up with the Sherpas. Don't lag behind. So after we've had that little flat plateau, next we come to a little bit of a rest stop, a little bit of recovery, and they can just unload their resistance and recover. And this song I stole from Jennifer.
I love this song.
It was just so perfect. I just had to take advantage of it too. So the song is Hope by Shaggy, and it's just under 4 minutes, 3:48. And I invite them to just rest their legs and refresh their body and kind of listen to what the song is saying. I invite them to refocus their thoughts on the journey ahead. And I start creating the picture of the prayer flags that hang up across mountain temples in this part of the world, and those fluttering prayer flags to local people, the fluttering is supposed to catch the eye of the gods so that their prayers will be noticed. So I want them to feel like they're taking a little rest up high up in the mountains. But the song is asking for hope and how hope helps you carry on. And so I ask them what they're hoping to gain from this quest. There has to be a reason for your journey. There has to be a reason that you came today. You aren't just chasing fitness. You're ready to take it higher. And this journey is about so much more. So I ask them to please recommit to completing this quest. That little recovery period brings me to my next kind of pivotal song. Here I kind of circle back around. We get another train song. And this song I chose because now we're high up in our story. We're high up in the mountains. And I asked them to add resistance. We're going to start climbing again and to close their eyes. And I can actually dim the lights in our spinning studio. So I take them down quite a bit. And I tell them, we've started our journey on a train, and now I want you to look way down below. You can see that same train leaving. So you're watching it from above, and it's the last train to Lhasa.
My favorite song of all time.
I know. It's the best.
I'll put the 12-minute version on as I'm driving and then hit repeat like three times. So,
well, this is the shorter version because I wanted it just to kind of echo back to that first train that we were on. So now we're watching that train leave, and we're watching it kind of push through the mountains, push through the mists and the clouds. The quality of the song, the sounds, it kind of echoes. And so I tell them the sound of the train is echoing. You can hear the wheels and the chug, chug, chug sound. It echoes and it bounces off the rock faces. And you almost can't identify where that sound is coming from because of the mountains and how that messes with the sound. But it kind of invades your head and just grab that sense of purpose that drives the train through the mountains.
And if anyone's ever been on a train, that sound is mesmerizing. It is like a mantra. It helps drive you into that zen sensation. So
exactly. And at this point, this is just an aside, you can actually, when you're asking them to listen for the echoing sound, you will actually see people with their eyes closed kind of tipping their head left and right, like trying to hear where the sounds are coming from. And then you know you've got them. They're in it. They're doing it.
That's a beautiful thing.
So, okay, so we've come back around. We've watched that train pull out and we move on. And it's so funny that you said it becomes a mantra because our next song actually has a mantra within it. And it's 6 minutes and it's just a tempo climb on the saddle. So I asked them to just adjust the resistance to where they are working at a hard working intensity, you know, 80% of their PRE or you know, a nice strong working intensity, and we'll increase the resistance just a teeny bit at about 2 minutes and 4 minutes. So that's 1/3 and 2/3 through the song. And at this point, I say, now we start our climb through a real lonely and desolate part of the landscape. This song has a rhythm within the climb that kind of turns into a moving meditation. Your breath, your pedal stroke, it becomes this moving meditation that you get lost in. Disconnect from the physical and focus on the mental. Turn your thoughts inward. Your body knows what to do. You just need to sometimes get out of your own way.
Perfectly said.
There's quite a bit of time, 6 minutes. So I try to give them that time to meditate, give them some quiet as well. So within this time, I do have just a couple more cues. And so I want them to focus on this moving meditation idea. So I ask them to in some meditations, you're supposed to visualize a lotus with 1,000 petals P-E-T-A-L-S, in a spiral pattern. And I want them to visualize their pedal stroke as that spiral, a white light that floats away as we pedal, and it becomes that spiral floating ever outward like ripples on a pond.
That's an incredible visual.
So if they would just stay relaxed and allow the energy to flow through your body, focus on your breath, bring that energy down to your legs, and remember, it's okay to just let go. And then I try to zip it because I like to talk, and I have to. That is something that a student actually told me. It would be nicer to have a little bit more quiet, and I was like, "You're darn right," and I need to do that. And so I have adjusted this profile because I got a little bit of constructive criticism, and they were right.
Yeah, I have to constantly remind myself because I'll depending on the profile, but I'll get talking way too much myself if I'm not careful.
Right. So after about 6 minutes, we move on, And now we're back into adding resistance. Every minute we'll add it on, and we just move from seated to standing and back to seated. And I tell them we've come to the point in our journey where we have to unclip from our safety line. We're going to stay together, but we ride on our own. So this lets them know there's a transition happening. Now it's on them. I don't want them to change their form, but I need them to engage their muscles. Sir Edmund Hillary said, "It is not the mountain that we conquer, but ourselves." So just keep driving it. You need to complete this journey. You need to see the guru in the mountains, and you are not willing to turn back. And then I have a little quote from Yoda, even to just not get too deep. I want to have a little bit of humor in any ride. So do or do not. There is no try. And that's a quote from Yoda.
Yoda's just a Buddha. And
yeah, he's our little tiny Zen master.
Yes.
All right. So now we are coming to our next song. And this song, I let it be just the rider's choice. I've asked them to add some more resistance. So it's a very heavy amount of resistance, but they can move on or off the saddle as they need to. It's up to them. And this is our final climb to the temple of the guru. We say goodbye to our Sherpa. We've already unclipped from our other riders. We have to do this part of the journey alone. It's your quest. And this journey is a metaphor for any struggle you might face. Come into the temple of the guru with reverence. You are seated at the feet of the guru. Ask your question privately and receive the blessing from the guru. And then there's a perfect quote from the Dalai Lama, and it says, "Our brain and our own heart is our temple." So that's why I wanted that imagery of coming into the temple, because it's all happening in their head. So we've had our moment with the guru now. We still have that final summit. And this is just about 3.5 minutes. I want the maximum resistance that they can handle, very heavy, but without compromising their form. Form trumps resistance every time.
Yep.
So max force, but it has to be perfect form and intense concentration. And you've spoken to the guru. I tell my riders, you've spoken to the guru, and now you have just a little farther to go to reach the summit. You are at this point, you are in such a Zen space that the struggle seems to be taking place outside of your body, outside of us. Our mind is calm and confident. This summit is viciously hard, but just let yourself flow. You are in peak form. I'm asking you to accomplish something different today, something extraordinary. You will be at the rooftop of the world. So that's just this huge soaring finish.
And then the music, Es Posthumus. How could you?
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's so.
I would use them in every single profile, yeah, if I could.
I know, me too. But then it'd be overkill.
Exactly. Then none of it would be special. Yep. And then the very last song, again, is rider's choice. And I just ask them to take their resistance down to the point where they feel like they are at their strongest. If I ask them sometimes to picture the textbook picture of a strong spinner, and now make that, put their face on that. And so they can take the resistance down, and I just want them to take it down enough that they are riding along in standing or seated, to where they just feel that bliss, that sense of accomplishment after a heavy climb. So the visualization for this part goes that to imagine that the clouds are parting and you can see the entire mountain range below us. It's the mighty Himalayas. And just enjoy this moment at the summit. Enjoy this golden sunshine, because this is the song Matisyahu's talking about, golden sunshine, and it's that warmth that he's talking about, and it's coming from within you. So enjoy that golden sunshine. The light comes from within you. And I just tell them, bliss out. You've completed your quest. You are a champion. then I kind of circle back to that other song, The Good Life, to take this journey with you, to take the good that's in this ride, take it with you, take it out of class, and continue to enjoy this bliss, this glow of success all day long. And then we come into a cool down, which again is just nice instrumental, but it still has this very exotic feel to it. And, you know, namaste and cool down and unload your resistance and stretch and thank all my riders. And I always invite them to give me feedback. I will tell my riders, any compliments, tell my boss. Any complaints, tell me, because I would much rather have the chance to handle any constructive criticism or possible complaints myself. And I did. And I really hope you'll try this ride, because every time I've done it, I've had people just clamoring to talk to my boss, to tell me they burned amazing amounts of calories. I really did it. I was really there. I was on that ride. I was in that moment. And, you know, that's always really gratifying to hear.
It is so gratifying. And that is the reward of overcoming — this is for instructors, not for the students necessarily — for overcoming that fear of doing this kind of a journey ride. The reward of not just for yourself, but helping these people do something they didn't think was possible. It's exactly. Just the joy of overcoming your fear of stepping out of your comfort zone as a coach. And that's just — this ride is a gem for that.
Oh, thanks.
It really is. It's as you're discussing it, and you know, I was kind of following along on the written one, but I just was like, oh man, I feel my heart rate rising and just feel the endorphins and just listening to it. And that shows you the power of the spoken word, the visualization. I'm not even on a bike. So, you know, people listening to this, it does work. I would say that I would imagine that people didn't just show up one day. You announced this. This was a special ride?
I did announce it. And that was part of my preparation as an instructor, to try and make sure this was as successful as possible. I knew this was going to be a different ride. So anyone that was afraid maybe of stepping out of that box, afraid of trying to visualize and let go, I announced it in advance, you know, a couple of classes before, a week before, and any other classes in between, that I have a really special ride coming up. And I tried to always say a special and keep the verbiage very positive to start setting that tone. Yep. Right away. Very positive. It's special. It's something I've worked on very hard to make this unique, incredible ride. And I put it on my Facebook. The gym that I work out had a post on their Facebook that there's a special event happening, so that people didn't come in and face something unexpected.
I would even, to emphasize how special it is, I would even suggest that you make a special flyer. And I'm starting to see these on some of the Facebook indoor cycling groups, where instructors who are part of these groups are saying, this is a ride I'm doing at my club. And they post the PDF or the JPEG image of, or I guess it is a PDF, of their poster that they're putting up at their club. And I always think that's really great, because that in a way is almost overcoming some of the objectives in advance, because students who come to that know what they're getting into.
Exactly.
And so you're going to have less resistance. So if your fear is that resistance, then kind of mitigate that by emphasizing the extra specialness of this ride. But you want to deliver what you're promising in that it's a special ride. So make sure you do something a little different than you do from your normal classes. Otherwise, they're going to go, what's so special about that? So,
well, and I had the little flameless candles, too.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, one person said, oh, you could burn incense, but I wasn't really into that idea because it is a closed room and the smell, when you're working hard and breathing hard, sometimes that would feel a little cloying or suffocating. So just having some candles flickering. I had an image of a temple and some monks in their saffron robes sitting. So people did start to get the idea. I started to set the stage, set the expectation, let them know what the mood of the ride was going to be, so that they would be prepared and hopefully very willing to go along.
If anyone listening happens to have AV, if you've got audiovisual, if you've got screens, that would be great to project some images of of the Himalayans, the mountains, of people trekking, of a train, of the colorful robes, of the prayer flags, especially when you start talking about them, the spinning prayer wheels, which are so beautiful. Just anything, you know, from that part of the world that helps your riders place themselves in that moment. And I imagine you... I can't, Juliet, I want to ride this with you. I want to be out there and I want to experience this someday. And I really hope to have that chance. Well, we've gone longer than I normally like to do for these kind of things, but I'm not going to cut anything out. I think if people need to listen to this on a couple occasions, fine. But there's so much, especially for those who are going to try something for the first time like this, there's a lot of really great tips on how to overcome your fears as a coach. And I want to thank you for helping the world of instructors do that.
Thank you, Jennifer. You've inspired me over the years. And this ride actually was inspired by one, you know, it kind of is an evolution from one of your rides. So I've borrowed from you so much over the years that I am really happy to give back.
Well, thank you so much. And I have a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot more from Juliet Underhill from Florida.
Thank you.